started all the plants growing and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us whatever we do. Whatever we do, he has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this live 0900 AM Central Time broadcast on August 11th, 2023. My name is David Stovenel. This effort is called Operation Restore Christian America. Most people are now aware that there is that Christianity is under siege from all points on the compass. And this effort is to bring that to the attention of the listening audience so that they participate in politics and in the study of the scriptures, the KJV, so that we all get on the same page in order that subversives cannot distract your attention away from being on the same page with me as this broadcast transpires. You're welcomed to question and study and dispute as to why the KJV is flawed, etc. But nevertheless, in order to realize that what I'm reading is exactly, specifically what is contained within that 1611 authorized version, then we will be getting somewhere. We'll be moving along to a deeper understanding between the truth and the chaos that is deliberately created by manipulators that are selfish people. Anyway, my website is genuinechristianitynow.com. I hope you visit there often. Articles are posted throughout the week, and they are articles that are all serious-minded. There is no clown show on there. It's all articles that are 100% intended to be accurate. They're vetted carefully. Obviously, everyone is human and makes mistakes, but nevertheless, there is nothing on there that is deliberately misleading you. The broadcast for today is named Solomon and the Book of Ecclesiastes, Part 2. Before I get to the reading of Solomon and then on to the Gospel of John, I'm going to something that is of immense importance in the book of Revelation. Just one single verse, because the next generation that the mind manipulators want you to embrace and accept is called Gen, in other words, G-E-N, Gen Alpha. Gen Alpha. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it has this to say, and it's in red print, and everything in the scriptures, in the KJV that I have, and it is wise to get the red letter edition because it takes some of the ability to realize exactly what Jesus' words are compared to narrative and other people's words. Anyway, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, in red letter, Jesus' words here. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And then it goes on from there with the narrative, saith the Lord, which is and which was to come, the Almighty. So for the mind controllers, the mind perverters, the mind manipulators, to launch Gen Alpha indicates that there will be an entire generation of people that are brainwashed into believing they are better than Jesus, just like Jesus. Without studying, without repenting of anything, without being infused with the Lord Holy Ghost. So the deception continues, so I thought I would bring that to your immediate attention so that you can look into it. Gen Alpha, G-E-N-A-L-P-H-A. Now we'll go to the most pure way to pray, once again, is reading directly from the KJV scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good, that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and a peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? as the fool. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Thus ends chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, the writing of Solomon, the king of Israel. At that time. Now we move along to the New Testament, John chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples. And they continued there not many days. and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what signs showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the reading of the Gospel of John, chapter 2. The call-in phone number is 608-433-9306, and anyone is welcomed to call in and talk about this subject matter, or if you have something that is on your heart that you desire to talk about on air to bring to the attention of listeners, any subject matter that you care to, such as subject matter that I just described about Gen Alpha. And in the scriptures, incidentally, it says there will be many antichrists that come in my name. And Alpha is a name that is exclusive to Jesus. So all of these alpha males, guess what? You're all beta. You're all beta males. Only Jesus is alpha. So it's very difficult to describe precisely where the thought originated for the labeling, like labeling a herd of cattle, like tattooing cattle or prisoners. It's very difficult to trace back to the source who came up with the brilliant idea of coming up with what the next generation would be labeled. So all I can do is suggest at least one book for your consideration to read, or at least to listen to his video presentations that are still available. Not all of them have been censored yet. But Dr. John Coleman does a fantastic job as the result of several years of research and study in the most significant libraries in the world. Anyway, the book is titled The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, Shaping the Moral, Spiritual, Cultural, Political, and Economic Decline of the United States of America. I'm positive that this is a good book to identify some of the people that had to do with some of the thinking that went into how to label all of these generations that cause animosity and separation. And when you consider the Hegelian dialectic, which is, by the way, you could say not necessarily plagiarized, you could say refined from Plato, from Plato's Republic, which was essentially, from the start to the finish, a dialectic. And what a dialectic is it's two basic subject matter that are different. And then the discussion for the two different subject matter goes on until a conclusion of some sort is reached. As for example, the boomers. Well, who named the boomers? Obviously, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations had a lot to do with that. So tracing back the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, the word Wellington House, the words Wellington House bubble up very rapidly when you begin a study of this. And just on Wikipedia, the entry begins, Wellington House is the more common name for Britain's War Propaganda Bureau, which operated during the First World War from Wellington House. So tracing that back a bit further and digging a little deeper into what Wellington House is, we come to another description when you word search Tavistock Institute. And the book, The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, I described it says in part as a description, from a somewhat crude beginning, Wellington House evolved into the Tavistock Institute and went on to shape the destiny of Germany, Russia, Britain, and the United States in a highly controversial manner. Now, this is subject matter that people group that were named and are named boomers studied quite thoroughly. A large number of people that were born between 1945 and 1965, which is generally considered the boomer generation, have a fairly decent working knowledge of the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. I'm from that generation, so I identify with that people group, and I can say that with a certain amount of clarity and certainty, because the people that are in my generation, my age group, can talk among each other, and we can name names of people that were instrumental in the formulating and the developing of that. For example, John Rawlings Rees is one of the key figures in that. But anyway, on the Wikipedia page, right at the bottom, it has Tavistock for the workplace. For those of you that think this is just something that is from a bygone era because now the United Kingdom and England are just totally hapless and helpless and defunct. The subheading is Tavistock for the Workplace. And here's what it says. The techniques used to rehabilitate soldiers were believed by some researchers to be applicable to a more human-centered organization of work in industry by empowering lower-ranking employees. This agenda helped showcase the two socio-technical scholarship attributes, the close association of technological and social systems, and also the importance of worker involvement. So you see, this is not only not defunct, and they are not defunct, they are more powerful, and I've been saying this for many years, more than 30 years I've been saying, warning, alert, alarm, the Green Prince is growing in power, and it's necessary to understand this in order to build a resistance against this evil, this globalist tyranny that is centered at Windsor Castle, because the people at Tavistock Institute wouldn't even be there if the King of Great Britain said that has to go. It's necessary to realize and understand that. So, they practiced on veterans. The techniques used to rehabilitate soldiers were believed by some researchers to be applicable to a more human-centered organization. So soldiers were obviously just test subjects to these mattoid madmen, and women, I might add. This was not exclusive to men, as for example, just one name, Melanie Klein. You can look up these names yourself at any given time. So that's some interesting material as subject matter for study purposes. And in order to bring to the attention a little more the necessity for veterans that know they have been discriminated against, and especially veterans that can prove it with documents, with government documents or medical documents, prove they've been experimented on or abused through tyranny under the rubric or the pretense, I should say, of medical care. As for example, Roman Trist, having a lobotomy done after his honorable service at World War II. You can look that up and study it, Roman Trist. And they could not have done it without the active cooperation and participation of his sisters in his own family, because at that time, fascism was being developed by the Mattoids to make sure that family members were able to exercise power over the eldest male in the family. And digressing for a moment, Thomas Jefferson was opposed, adamantly opposed to primogeniture, just as one of the very few negative criticisms of Thomas Jefferson. And incidentally, he was a descendant from a Scottish king, a King David in Scotland. So he was an egalitarian. He was for equality, which is high sounding. But if it comes to a point where your own family members gang up against you in a democracy within your own family, and the end results are that someone that pretends to be providing medical care hammers ice picks into the frontal lobe of your brain, then there's something dramatically, drastically wrong with all of that. But you might ask, well, that must have been one of those rowdy World War II heavy drinkers and people that came back and machine-gunned entire cities like Rambo did in the movie. You might think that, and that was an exception, that Roman Trist was just that one rebel without a cause after the World War was won. But ladies and gentlemen, and I'm just speaking of military personnel now. I'm just talking of veterans. After they have provided honorable service to each and every one of you, to every American, there were thousands that had ice pick-like instruments hammered into their frontal lobe under the ghoulish pretense of medical care. And this is traced back, of course, in large part, to the con artist Sigmund Freud. Medical damage. Damage, physical damage is a crime. Damaging a person or property is criminal activity. So criminal activity was being perpetrated in the name of medical care. This still goes on, only it goes on more subtly now. And if you read the scriptures, even in chapter 1, in the very first book in Genesis, you'll discover who it was that was subtle. It was the serpent. It was the devil. It was Satan. The Satanists are subtle. That's why it's so necessary for younger people that are anti-boomer. I call them the busters, because it's either boom or it's bust. In a Plato Marxist Hegelian dialectic. So use that dialectic in your favor. Don't shy away from it. You're either a boomer or you're a buster. You either want America to improve and do better than we have in the past and be honorable Christian men and women that lead the effort to call sinners to repentance from their evil, from their sin, from their crime, from their wickedness. Some of the more renowned mattoid psychiatrists were caught out after a number of years of torturing people. And in Canada, for example, the wife of one legislator up there was hospitalized after having postpartum depression, which is a normal occurrence as a result of many different biological chemical changes in the body as a result of childbirth. And I absolutely despise the communist word labor replacing a wonderful description, childbirth. It's pathetic what these people do when they try to change language in order to suit a satanic agenda. In other words, Bolshevik terrorism or fascism or whatever you would like to name it as being the most dreadful evil. But let's call it what it is. It's the glory of the birth of a child into this life. Now, Tom Brokaw, he was from Nebraska and a very refined broadcaster for the mainstream media, and he wrote a well-researched book called The Greatest Generation. Well, I submit to you that that engendered another dialectic, because that would be like the pinchers movement, only intellectually, between the busters and the greatest generation that squeezed the boomers to death. Boomers have no value in this society anymore because the greatest generation came before them. And the busters, hey, they're just burning down cities, murdering people, demanding abortion on demand, and money is all important to the the busters. So this is a huge pincher, intellectual, moral pincher that the Tavistockian, the Tavistock monsters of iniquity, have the boomers in America in. But I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the greatest generation really pales in comparison to another generation that preceded it by 2,000 years, when our Lord Jesus Christ entered into the body and into the flesh, when God manifested himself in human form. So that's the greatest generation as far as I'm concerned, because the people that could recognized him and listened to his teachings and followed him and obeyed him were people that were 100% committed to decency and honesty and telling the truth, no matter how much it hurt. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it repeatedly hurt all of the followers of Jesus Christ of that generation, all of them, in the body. But in the spirit, their spirit, as their spirit left their body when they were tortured to death, their spirit, when it went entered the spirit world and awaited the great white throne judgment, their eternity was secure. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. Are you a buster? Are you a member of the greatest generation? Why don't I hear from generals or colonels anymore? Colonels used to talk to me, but for some reason they have shied away, and I don't know what their problems are now, but the people that get a fairly decent size pension after being in the military for several years certainly don't want to risk their pension, so they're what would be called half-hearted lovers of Christ. Half-hearted lovers of Christ. Nevertheless, I do have some contacts, and I do very much appreciate those that do contact me and that we are in discussions about how to move forward with the class action lawsuit to bring what I'm telling you in this broadcast into a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, where honorably served veterans that served with honor are discriminated against and can prove it, in order to erase the institutionalized discrimination that exists and is being not only enhanced against veterans, but it exists throughout society now through Social Security number, even down to your telephone number. The spy agencies are everywhere, and of course the Tavistock Institute is the nerve center for that on behalf of an apostate Protestant king, Charles Windsor. For those of you that are younger, it's very important that you get the definition of apostate clear. Research the word apostate and type in, for example, a question of who are apostates, who were apostates. For example, one pope, Julian the Apostate, if you type in the word Julian the Apostate, there will be much that you can discover about a Roman Catholic pope that was an apostate, that had no obedience to the words of Jesus Christ or his worshipers and followers that refined and defined so average people could better understand what he taught while he was in his ministry. So that is a necessary subject, even for people that are not younger, to know the word apostate clearly, because the apostasy right now is, it's increasing as a result of a lack of knowing what is actually written in the Old Testament and the New Testament. As for example, for Jews that are maintaining and clinging to being Jews in their belief system, in their religion, Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6, clearly describes that there will be, it clearly describes Jesus. It describes that he will be wounded for their transgression. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Every Jew should read that. Every rabbi should read that so he snaps out of his delusion. Moving on to some of the people that were honest, that identified and were identified as Jews, one was named Harold Rosenthal back during the last century. Harold Rosenthal worked for a man that opened the floodgates for, he was instrumental in opening the floodgates for the, what I call the invasion here, the out of control invasion, where there used to be some decency for the people that were allowed into the country to become American citizens. And so Jacob Javits, who was also identified as a Jew, undermined all of the American people's will and effort because he was a subversive. But anyway, Harold Rosenthal told the truth in an interview, and here's part of what he said. Speaking of Jews, speaking of what he self-identified as, whether he was a fake Jew or Jacob Javits was a fake Jew or a real Jew in blood and soil is beside the point. These were self-identified and were universally recognized as Jews. Quote, we virtually get away with murder. And all the goy do is to talk about it, which is ineffective since we, the masters of propaganda, always publish a contradicting account. If the Aryan would review history and apply those lessons of the past, then the pen will be thrown down in disgust and the sword wielded in the heat of passion. A recurrence to history would edify our minds and show us that the European countries solved their Jewish problem only by use of force. Thus far, we have escaped the sword, but our constant fear is that they may open their eyes and learn that no change was ever brought about with a pen. History has been written in blood, not with ink. So that's a very graphic comment by a Jew some time ago. And his, when he died, you know, people die naturally. Everyone dies someday. And there was a speculation that he was murdered, and part of the reason for the speculation was that he was murdered because he was outgoing in his honesty. Well, anyway, moving on to another man that self-identified and was universally recognized as a Jew was Benjamin Friedman. And he was a Zionist, a very enthusiastic Zionist in his early career, until he discovered that it was not what it was first presented to him as being. It was not benign. it was vicious. So anyway, in one of his speeches, he described how the RMS Lusitania was sunk by a German submarine on the 7th of May, 1915. And that is what the general public is deceived into believing was the cause célèbre for the United States of America entering World War I, which is a falsehood. You see, there was a ferry that went across the English Channel called the SS Sussex. It was torpedoed on the 24th of March, 1916, which precedes the 7th of May, 19... My error, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. But I'm going to continue with this because I just realized that was from 1915 was the Lusitania and the Sussex was 1916. But the propaganda machine was accelerated after the Sussex was torpedoed. Now keep in mind that a war was in progress in Europe and the United States was not involved in that war even after the Lusitania was sunk. And this is the clarification that was intended when I took these notes. They're not clear enough, but nevertheless, the Sussex was torpedoed on the 24th of March, 1916, by the German submarine SMUB-29. No U.S. citizens were killed. But it was alleged in the propaganda machine that the Matoid mainstream Matoids reported that there were Americans killed. And anyway, following on that, in February 1917, was when Woodrow Wilson gave his message to Congress severing diplomatic relations with Germany on the 3rd of February 1917. So you can see that the ground, if you're speaking in terms of a farmer plowing his ground, the ground was plowed and replowed by the sinking, by the reporting of the sinking of the Lusitania that was transporting weapons of warfare against the Germans, and they knew it. That's why they sunk the Lusitania. That's provable history. And no U.S. citizens were killed in the attack on the SS Sussex, which did not sink. Anyway, Woodrow Wilson's message to Congress severing diplomatic relations with Germany was on 3 February 1917. And 2 months later, Woody Wilson, the liberal Democrat academic, he came out of academia and he was blackmailed by the Jews to get us into war, by the way. That history is interesting to study and read. That this liberal Democrat whoremonger, he went after another professor's wife, and he accomplished the great task of earning the nickname Pecksniff, because this other professor's wife, or this other professor's last name was Peck. Anyway, so he conjured up, or he did his part in declaring war after giving the war message to Congress on 2 April 1917. But who declared war against Germany? Great Britain declared World War I on the 4th of August 1914 at 2300 hours. It's been a long time since I read this and took these notes, so I apologize for the bit of confusion I had regarding the SS Sussex sinking, but nevertheless, that was an interim between the Lusitania and when when Woody Wilson, the liberal Democrat professor, delivered his war message to Congress and conjured up and got us into World War I, needlessly. It wasn't our war. It wasn't our war. It was not our war. It was Great Britain. What it was, in essence, was it was German royals fighting against German royals during World War II, or excuse me, for World War I. World War II was a German royal, you know, the Windsor crime family, fighting against the German common people, the workers, the German workers. In other words, it was the German royals proving their dominance and crushing the common Germans during World War II. In their long march for world domination. Now, Rosenthal overstated the case that Jews were responsible for all the propaganda and etc., because the Tavistock Institute is, it's not a Jewish organization. It's a globalist organization. It's a Great British organization. It's a multi-cult organization. It's a male and female organization. It's for Great Britain ruling over the entire world through their nefarious methods and means and violence and warfare. It's about the King of Great Britain trying to impose world government over all of us. Now, here are seven reasons why world government is wrong and dangerous, especially for Americans. Everyone in general, but Americans in particular. Now, I have to credit Gary Kaa for bringing this to my attention as a result of one of his speeches he gave over at Waukesha years ago, about 30 years ago, actually. If we ever allow world government, it will prove beyond doubt for all the world to witness that Christian males are cowardly worms and not men, and that Christian females are corrupt. If the enemy, number two, if the enemy effort to force the world government became successful, there would be no more system of checks and balances. Speaking of checks and balances, I encourage each and every one of you that's listening, if you have forgotten about having a checking account, start a checking account. That's a part of the checks and balances system. And just plunking down a piece of plastic and getting drawn into the e-world is not a good idea. When there's a time that you take to write out a check to pay for something, you're more careful about how you spend your money, and there's also a record of who you're doing business with and why you're doing business with them. I encourage you to start using your checks or to open a checking account and do that. It's part of the checks and balances system we have. Number three, the national constitution would be meaningless. Right now, we know that the corrupt liberal Democrats, I don't even like to use the word liberal, I think that Bolshevik Democrats would fit better, of how they have placed the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Ninth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment and literally all the first ten amendments under siege, ruthless, merciless siege, after they take their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution, mind you. And the amendments are a part of the Constitution. So they are aggressively, and there are go-along-to-get-along Republicans called rhinos that are even more pathetic than they are because they are spineless and are out for themselves, as I mentioned earlier about the busters. Sadly, some of them are members of the boomer generation period of time. Number four, decision-making and political power would be removed from the American people even farther than it is now because of the open secret laws that militate against us in at every turn that were designed and constructed by the British Jews. Two groups would benefit at our expense. The Judeo-Anglo-Saxon British monarch and its loyalists and the highly populated foreign nations that have political ties to the enemy British terrorists. Number five, there would be an enormous additional layer of taxes. We're seeing that, but it's because there are not enough people that are veterans, that are proving they've been discriminated against, standing up, contacting me. This has to happen very quickly. So we can prevent these tyrants from stacking another layer of taxes on us, like Slow Joe has been mercilessly doing, not just over the last two or three years, but throughout his entire career. And incidentally, Slow Joe is 100% familiar with the Edwin Crosby III litigation, where Edwin Crosby III, an honorable veteran, discovered the institutionalized discrimination against veterans, which corrupt Slow Joe has not brought any remedy for, which proves his guilt by what he's not doing and has not done. Number six, American Christians would constitute only a very small voice and leadership in this potential obscene, violent fabrication known as world government, a.k.a. New World Order. Number seven, and I did earlier indicate that it would be wise for everyone to start studying John Coleman's work, especially younger people, but that does not exonerate older people to refresh their memories. Number seven, the effort to construct this monster has been done behind the backs of good people everywhere by occultists. Now, what's the results of this criminal activity, of this occultism? Well, I have a copy of a now-defunct national newspaper called The Spotlight. And it's the dateline on it is October 14, 1996. And above the fold is a photo of a now deceased honorable veteran named Randy Weaver. And it's above the fold on the paper, and the heading of the article is Statistics Show BATF Hits Rural Whites. And it is an article, obviously, that describes the event after it happened, where members of his own family were surrounded by federal agents. After federal agents manipulated him into a situation where federal agents convinced him to do something that was that was illegal according to laws that federal agents made, and then they murdered members of his family. Because it can only be called murder because it was the federal agents perpetrating the operation from beginning to beginning.